We're going to look at the film. Hell, a lot of it we already know. You know what I mean? We just got to do it better. I can hit the howling
ball like Chris Paul. Is that beating the Warriors?
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
We want to beat them. We have to be mentally sharper. And we'll get that better. We'll make some adjustments on little things that we can do better. And got to play, you know, knock these guys out. We got to play a lot better offensively also.
Is that beating the Warriors?
This series is far from over. It's natural to relax, but we're not going to relax. We still are not where we want to be, and we got a long way to go.
We got to do a better job of not turning the basketball over, taking better shots, and getting back and matching up.
Is that beating the Warriors?
Mike Meltzer, Sports Radio 610. Mike, when Trevor Ariza picked up the fourth personal foul in the third quarter, did you consider taking him out of the game at that point?
Is that beating the Warriors?
I didn't like that Bill Simmons drops, the multiple drops, until the very end.
But
when
it's really paid off.
Like, is this the key to the game, Mike? Ariza not getting taken out soon enough?
There were some stats that indicated that once Ariza went out with the fifth foul, not the fourth foul, that things really changed for the worse because they didn't really have anybody to throw.
They wouldn't have changed for the worse if you took him out after the fourth foul. I forgot Gerald Green would have been awesome on defense if he had come in after Ariza's fourth foul. That was the key. Gerald Green, if there's one thing I know about Gerald Green, it's that, man, if he goes in when Ariza's got four fouls as opposed to five, he turns it on defense. Woo! Woo!
I was actually, what I wanted to ask was, I wanted to ask if he thought they got into the offense too late on Monday. That's what I wanted to ask.
He ended up saying that anyway, did he?
Is that
he
a
not?
Bad question?
I feel like you could take it, you know what?
It's better than the Ariza one.
I can't remember it. No, it was a fine question. Don't let Landry troll you this early in the morning after a late night of Astros baseball on the West Coast. I get into these West Coast zombie states when I'm watching West Coast baseball games where I keep falling asleep and waking up and it's like it's a drawn out, it's like tantric sex without the payoff, except that at least they won, as opposed to when McCullers lost the other night. It was tantric sex with no payout whatsoever because it was just it was lethargic offense. The offense picked it up last night.
Here's a take for you.
Yeah,
Jose Altuve last night in the seventh inning had a bases clearing double.
Mm-hmm.
That was the biggest hit the Astros have had all season long. That was the biggest hit.
That
was the biggest.
Why is that?
Because I would have been, Seth, very upset.
Uh-huh.
Very upset if I walked in here this morning after yet another loss to the Angels. That would have been 4-5. They lost 2 of 3 here.
Oh, yeah.
They would have lost the series there because they would have lost 2 in a row. That was the biggest hit anybody has had for this baseball team thus far.
That's all right. I can buy that. I can't buy when you try to claim that there's a must-win game in early April or something.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
No.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
When?
Landry, when was it? It was like in mid-April. He was saying there was some must-win game. It was a series at home.
No, it was against the Angels. It was against the Angels.
Yeah, you were saying you called it a must-win game.
Oh, yeah, the game they won. The Verlander game.
That's ridiculous.
The Wednesday afternoon.
Now, that's a stupid statement. I don't like to just lob out insults out
you
there. That's not what I'm about. That's not my deal.
You routinely accuse me of sitting in this chair and being too laissez-faire about some Texans game or some Rockets or whatever.
Right. But then when you flip the switch, you flip it completely. You go gonzo. You're like the kid that, like, you convince the nerdy kid to fight back, and he comes this. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. And he shows up with a knife to a fist fight. That's what you do. I caught myself there at 6:04 in the morning.
Well done.
Houston shock jock makes light of school shootings.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me tell you this about the Astros, and it's that that Jake Marisnyk, one of my personal heroes, is gone. We'll get to that a little later.
To let people know, Jake Marisnyk was designated for assignment. Kind of an interesting move for a team coming off a championship to make a kind of significant move like that only, let's see, 5, 6, 7 weeks into a season.
Well, coming off a championship, but I mean, he didn't participate in the championship.
He did not participate in much of the actual winning the championship part. But
not in any of it. He was in the dugout cheering him on.
When it comes to figuring out importance of these games, I just think it's nice to be able to win a series against a good team, which is why tonight's game is also important with Verlander against Richards. So your best pitcher against their best pitcher tonight. It's a couple of things. One, they're the team that you're likely to be competing against in this division to win, even though the rest of the division quietly has actually been pretty decent. So there's that. and the fact that you've lost the series to the Angels at home, the series to the Yankees a couple weeks ago also at home, just to be able to get one of those wins, because also after this series tonight, you face the Indians for three, the Giants for two, ooh, the Indians on the road for four, the Yankees on the road for three, the Red Sox at home for three, then Seattle's in here for two more games. That's a pretty tough stretch of games.
Donnybrook is what that is. We're going to find out. Maybe this is just this is the challenge the Astros need. Wake them up out of their somnolence. I got a word of the day calendar thing. And there you have it. You'll be right on your way. I'm enjoying the battle. I'm enjoying the struggle. I'm enjoying that early on in the Astros season this year.
It's not been easy.
It's not right, which is exactly what I would have asked for. I mean, last year you coast out to that incredible lead, and then it's nothing but misery in August and early September as you ride out both the Astros and Harvey. And then obviously it got really exciting at the end. I'd much rather have it be this way. Like, know you're in a fight from the very get-go.
I don't mind being in a fight. I would just like to capitalize on really good starting pitching.
Yeah.
Which the starting pitching was fine last night, but not what they're usually accustomed to.
That was the shortest outing of the year for Gerrit Cole. He ends up leaving after the fifth inning because the umpire got hit by a ball and ended up there was a 10-minute delay.
Yes.
But he just didn't have his usual command, and it wasn't quite the same. But that's where we are with the starting pitching. It's like, I let up two runs over five, six, or seven innings. It's not quite what we're used to.
Yeah.
Can't expect that offense to score more than two runs in a game.
So Verlander tonight again, not a must-win game, obviously, but you want to be able to win some of these series, even though it's still pretty early.
At this point, too, let me ask you this, Mike, because you're a baseball stats guy, and you love throwing out this Pythagorean theory of wins, because you baseball and basketball people love trying to sound smart by calling something simple something more complex. That's what you do, you realize, right? Like this whole, you call regression to the mean, you think, like balancing out, you just can't call it balancing out. You have to say, like, oh, it's regression to the mean. Likewise, this Pythagorean theory is just that if you score more runs than the teams you're playing, you tend to win more games. So that's where I'm wondering with you and the freaking out or concern over the Astros is that they are still they're in very good shape in terms of point differential, just runs scored run differential basketball. Is that ultimately what makes you comfortable with everything here, and that everything will balance out?
Yeah, that's what makes me overall because that's comfortable.
Where,
that
that's I what people say in baseball, like that matters more than anything else. That's actually the best indicator of whether a team has a good shot or not.
I'm actually not sure if it's the best indicator. I think it's an indicator, indicator that I think that they're better than the Angels are and better than Seattle is.
I see. I'm confused because it used to be when the Astros weren't playing well, it didn't have a good record, but they had a good run referential, you would say, like, well, they're actually a better team than they look.
Yes.
Okay. But now that they actually have a good record, but they also still have a heady run differential, you're saying that they're not as good a team as the run differential would imply?
No, I'm saying that they are. I think it's the same exact thing, actually, the way I look at it.
I feel like you should be more confident in them.
Yeah, I'm confident, but you could have those situations. Remember when Texas won the division a couple of years ago when they won a million games with a million one.
But even though they had
games,
a negative run differential,
that was not a good Texas team.
Right, right.
But they were miraculous in one run games, which is why they made the postseason.
And they're really good versus the Astros.
So you worry exactly. So you worry that you end up in this kind of vortex where, like, you're actually much better than the other team is.
It's just bad
luck.
They
happen to win close games.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm wondering after last night is, and I think this is going to dominate conversation for the next month or so, depending on how things shake out. I'm really trying to figure out where exactly LeBron is going to play basketball next season. That's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
When did I say that it was definitely going to be Cleveland? I guess after the last series.
After sweeping Toronto.
Yeah, I thought, like, okay, there's a really good chance he's going to stay there now.
I just don't know how he can stay there and try to win anything.
Well, also despising.
I just have no idea.
Despising the owner, too.
Yes.
There's not just, I mean, everything combined would suggest that there's no reason he should stay there other than he co-authored a brilliant letter professing his love for Northeastern Ohio.
But he's
a place where respect is earned, not given, Mike. A place where people work 18 hours a day except when they choose not to work at all. A place where, sure, They laud the natural beauty of Lake Erie, but also dump all kinds of nastiness into it. That's the place that he calls home, and he will go and be committed to Akron / the Cleveland greater area until things get a little bit tough.
But he's paid off that letter. They got a championship. Yeah. He's paid off that letter. And then you watch the way that he's playing right now, and if you're a Cleveland fan, and if you were upset at the idea of LeBron leaving, I mean, you're just not watching what's happening, because it's basically a two-man show with him and Kevin Love, and that's really about it.
Stop it.
I like that.
That's just an awful song.
It's such a good song.
It's such a bad song.
It gets you so pumped.
Oh, it's such a jock rock song. Who's the guy? Come on, stop it. Honestly, seriously. No, people are changing the channel now.
No way.
They love that.
Do an instant text poll and ask if they change the channel when you play that song.
I absolutely promise you, if you listen to this all the way through, you're ready to go.
Let me ask,
what's the name of the, what's the most infamous jock rock song where the Gary Glitter, which one was Gary Glitter do? He was the one that ended up being arrested on child pornography charges, right?
I'm trying to put myself in a mental place where I'm watching that commercial play.
The Jock Rocks commercial?
Yeah, that commercial.
Oh, the Jock, that's right. You could buy the DVD.
Jock Jams.
Your Jock Jams.
I'm trying to think of all the songs. There are some songs I know, like 80s songs that I know exclusively because they kept being a commercial that promoted some like 80s. And I can't think of the songs right now, but anytime I hear the songs, I know them from that commercial. They kept playing them over and over.
Oh, that's right. This is the Gary Glitter one. Now, do they still play this or not? Given the artists' checkered past.
Why not? Like Michael Jackson.
They still play Jim Brown or James Brown.
Michael
everywhere.
Jackson. Yeah.
You hear this?
Yeah. Here we go. Da, 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 da. See, this never gets old.
No.
This never, ever, ever, ever gets old. I'll do this. Oh, do your pep talk for the Rockets.
Over this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh God. You guys want me to do this every hour.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm
going to be. And remember, Mike, this is a pep talk. This is you lifting the spirits of the team in the city. This is not you yelling at them about the things they shouldn't do. Okay. Last time we tried to do this, you gave a pep talk along the lines of like, you guys are embarrassing me. Go on, don't suck. Just quit sucking, please. I'm the only one that cares.
Maybe I'm like the Tom Coughlin of pep talks.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my strategy.
He's not a very good pep talk giver. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
To Gary Glitter's Jock Jams.
Listen. It feels to me like the whole city doesn't believe. It's one game. This team had the best record in basketball the whole season. They've got the MVP. They won 65 games. This team had the most successful regular season in the history of Houston sports. If we gave up after a game, the Astros wouldn't have the World Series championship on like two or three different occasions. It's one game. You know who lost game one also? The Astros lost game one of the World Series. You can bounce back. It's not about four. It's not about three or two. It's about one. Win tonight. One game tonight. Good effort right from the jump. A little bit less isolation. Get into the offense quicker. Let's get Chris Paul involved. Let's get Capella involved. Let's get the role players. You designed this team with the Golden State Warriors in mind. Let's focus on that. Let's focus less on Harden with the step back three a little bit early. He'll be fine. He'll produce. One game at home tonight.
Yes!
You're favored by two.
Yes!
Let's go!
Listen, I'll tell you what. You know what? I think we just stumbled onto something here.
What?
I think you've got more rhythm than you might think.
Okay.
Than I thought. You got more rhythm
than I thought.
You can get into a flow when you have a bed like that. We need to do that.
You guys are supportive.
Can we have a bed underneath the show the entire time? Not Gary Glitter the whole time.
Let's just reinvent the radio show this morning.
Certainly not that LeBron James song, but something like that. Good job. I feel good. I feel better about the Rockets. Thank you, Mike. That was a good pep talk.
I'm trying not to like write everything off and be like, all right, how do we get LeBron and what are we going to do against our overlords in Golden State?
Yeah.
Like, it's one game. We can do that for the next 2 months, basically.
If you dial down some of the basics, too. Like, there are some things that are independent of the fact that you're playing the Warriors. Know who you're guarding on defense. There we go. That's my simple task. If you do that alone, that leads to better good things.
We'll see. All right, so two topics right now. So two things on the table right now. Where is LeBron going to play next season? Because I can't figure out what the answer to that question is. Where is LeBron going to play? And do the Rockets need to change the way they play? The coach says no, but one of the players says yes. This is Matt.